From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. This week, Florida became the 36th state in the U.S. to recognize same-sex marriages. A federal judge ruled last year that the state's ban on same-sex marriage violates equal protection and due process requirements in the U.S. Constitution. A stay on that ruling was lifted Tuesday, opening the door to gay couples seeking marriage licenses in all 67 counties in the state. Supporters celebrate the decision as a major step toward equality for gay and lesbian Floridians. Opponents argue the court ruling contradicts the will of voters who approved a constitutional amendment in 2008 defining marriage as between one man and one woman. Plus, this week marks the 30th annual Everglades Coalition Conference in Key Largo. We'll hear from conference organizers and participants about the current health of the Everglades and opportunities and challenges for future restoration. First, this news. From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. This week marks the 30th annual Everglades Coalition Conference in Key Largo. The four-day event brings together environmental advocates, scientists, public officials, and other stakeholders for a closer look at the current status of Florida's River of Grass and the importance of future conservation and restoration efforts. We'll hear from conference organizers and speakers later this hour. But first, this week, Florida became the 36th state in the U.S. to recognize marriage between same-sex couples. Clerk of Court offices in all of Florida's 67 counties offer marriage licenses to gay couples effective Tuesday. Last year, U.S. District Judge Robert Hinkle ruled that the state's marriage ban violates the U.S. Constitution's equal protection and due process requirements. The challenge came in a lawsuit filed by the ACLU on behalf of 8 same-sex couples and a Fort Myers widow, and another lawsuit filed on behalf of 2 couples by attorneys in Jacksonville. A temporary stay on that ruling expired January 5th. Initially, clerk of court offices faced confusion over the scope of the federal court ruling until January 1st, when Judge Hinkle issued an order clarifying that his ruling was intended to apply to the entire state. As gay couples have now begun lining up at clerk of court offices around Florida to apply for marriage licenses, supporters are celebrating the move as a major step toward equality for gay and lesbian Floridians. Meanwhile, opponents of same-sex marriage say the ruling contradicts the will of Florida voters who approved a state constitutional amendment in 2008 defining marriage as between one man and one woman. Some vow to continue their fight until the U.S. Supreme Court intervenes. Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi has filed an appeal in the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, although no date has yet been set for a hearing. Joining me now to explore the legal and political history of how same-sex marriage became legal in Florida, the potential impacts of same-sex marriage in Florida, and what's next in the legal battle is Steve Rothaus. He's the LGBT issues reporter and assistant community news editor for the Miami Herald. Steve, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Well, thank you.
We're also talking with Irene Plank. She's general counsel to the Sarasota County Clerk of Courts. Thanks for being with us, Irene.
Thank you, John.
And joining me in studio is Arlene Goldberg. Arlene is a Fort Myers resident and one of the plaintiffs named in the ACLU's lawsuit. She joined the suit following the death last year of her wife and partner of nearly half a century, as Florida did not recognize their marriage from New York. Arlene, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And Ken Sheelan joins us as well. Ken is a board member for the LGBT advocacy organization Equality Florida and a former Sarasota County commissioner. In recent years, Ken has been championing efforts to get local municipalities to create domestic partnership registries. Ken, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. I'm delighted.
We also invited John Stimberger, president and general counsel of the Orlando-based Florida Family Policy Council, to join us this morning, but he declined. I do invite listeners to join the conversation, though. You can connect with our guests by calling 877-GCU-TALK. That's 1-877-428-8255. Send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. You can also post comments and questions on Facebook at WGCU Public Media or join the live Twitter chat using hashtag Gulf Coast Live. And Steve, let's start with you for a look at the somewhat complex history that's brought us to this point. Can you take us back to 2008 when Florida voters first approved the Marriage Protection Amendment?
Sure. Back in 2008, about 62% of the voting public voted to enact Amendment 2, which would enshrine in Florida's Constitution a ban against marriage between people of the same gender. It also outlawed civil unions, domestic partnerships, and anything that resembled the marriage of two people of the same sex.
And then in 2010, the state's prohibition on gay people adopting children was lifted. I know that's sort of a separate issue when regards to, you know, marriage litigation, but was that an important step on the path?
Well, they're all important steps, and keep in mind that the adoption fight had been ongoing for many years before that. That became law in Florida back in 1977 after the Anita Bryant campaign in Miami-Dade County. Mm-hmm. That was the reaction to that in Tallahassee. And essentially, you know, one state senator at the time was quoted saying, "We're going to put them back in the closet." And that was the same session in which they passed the law that prohibited gay people from adopting. They actually updated the adoption form to ask whether you were homosexual, and if you answered yes, you were immediately disqualified. So back in 2010, that's when the adoption issue was finally put to rest, when then Attorney General Bill McCollum said that he was no longer going to pursue appeals in that case. The state had lost in circuit court and then in the appeals court, and at that point the attorney general said no, they were going to let it go. And so the law actually still fits on the books but is unenforced because there is an appeals court ruling that says that it is unconstitutional.
Okay. And then moving forward chronologically again, in June of 2013, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down a section of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, which banned the federal government from recognizing same-sex marriage. But that decision didn't really address an individual states, correct?
Exactly. Section 3 of the Defense of Marriage Act was specifically towards the federal government and the federal government's recognition of same-sex marriage. Section 2 of DOMA had to do with the states and whether the states could individually ban marriage among same-sex couples, and also whether they would have the ability to not recognize the same-sex marriages that were performed legally in other states and other countries. So that happened in June of 2013. At exactly the same time, probably a week before, Equality Florida launched its Get Engaged campaign. And that was the beginning of the effort here in Florida to undo the state marriage ban. So that happened exactly the same time.
And Steve,
Well, I was just going to say that in the months after the DOMA ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court, that's when Equality Florida and several of the other groups in the state began to seek out couples who, you know, they thought would be the right people to challenge the state marriage law.
And Arlene Goldberg, let's hear from you now. How did you get involved with that lawsuit with the eight other couples? Did you reach out to them, or did they reach out to you?
Actually, I reached out to the ACLU. My wife Carol had passed away on March 13th of 2014, and the next day, I read in the paper that there was a lawsuit filed by the ACLU for eight same-sex couples to have their marriages recognized in Florida, their out-of-state marriages. So I sent them an email because I knew there was going to be some kind of issue up the road for me, and I told them what my circumstance was, and they contacted me and they added me into the lawsuit. They went back and amended the existing lawsuit.
And why was it important, I guess, for you or maybe for them as well to have you in that lawsuit? Because you really stand out among the other eight couples because you're a widow.
I am. I am a widow. I think when you look at the lawsuit and then you look at my case, it's such a human interest story because here I am, just like any other couple, and my partner died, my wife died, and I have all these issues that I shouldn't have because we were together for 47 years. And I have these issues simply because we're a same-sex couple and we're not recognized in the state of Florida.
Right.
Don?
Yes, sir.
Don, this is Steve. And I think it's important at this point to clarify that in January of 2014, Equality Florida and the National Center for Lesbian Rights, they filed a suit in Miami-Dade Circuit Court on behalf of six same-sex couples who wanted marriage licenses. They were suing for the right to marry. That in March, when the ACLU filed its lawsuit, it involved eight couples who had been married out of state, who were already legally married, and they were seeking that the state of Florida recognize their marriages. And that's why Arlene's case, you know, fit in so well, because hers was also a recognition case. And in her case, she was particularly concerned because Social Security bases its benefits on state law. So where the IRS, after the Windsor ruling, was required to recognize all of these marriages and to give the same tax benefits to all married couples, Social Security is not in the same situation. So, you know, because Arlene lives in Florida, she was unable to, you know, collect or claim any of Carol's Social Security benefits.
Right. And also, when Carol passed away, her death certificate said that she was single, never married, and that I had no relation to her. And I think that's what fueled me, because that wasn't true. We were married.
And her death certificate now, as I understand it, is something of a historical document.
Yes, it is. Judge Hinkle, in his infinite wisdom, put a stay on the lawsuit. But what he didn't put a stay on was having the Department of Health change my Carol's death certificate to say that she was indeed married to me and that I was her wife on a Florida legal document.
So technically speaking, would your and Carol's relationship be the first same-sex marriage recognized by the state of Florida?
I'm thinking so. I sounds like it, yeah.
Well, I know that there was quite a bit of confusion about the scope of the ruling. Gay advocacy groups were threatening lawsuits if county clerk of court offices did not allow same-sex couples to apply for licenses. But the Clerk's Own Association was advising that the ruling only applied in Washington County in that one case, and that they shouldn't be giving marriage licenses to gay couples. Steve, can you tell us a bit about that confusion and how that finally got resolved?
Sure. That began in July, back before any of these other cases had actually gone to court, and that includes the federal case, before there was a decision in the state cases in Miami-Dade County or in the Keys, where another right to marry case was filed. Back in the beginning of July, the law firm Greenberg Traurig, based in Miami, they represent the Florida Clerks Association. And the Florida Clerks Association asked for their opinion from Greenberg Traurig as to what they should do if any of these cases came to pass and in which the state lost the case. And back July 1st, Greenberg Traurig's attorneys in Tallahassee recommended to the Clerks Association that they not issue licenses to same-sex couples until the U.S. Supreme Court or the Florida Supreme Court abolished Florida's gay marriage ban. Back in July, nobody even knew about this, you know, except for the Clerks Association. And then, of course, you know, rapid fire, you have judges in Miami-Dade, in Monroe County, in Broward County, in Palm Beach County, and then eventually in mid-August, Judge Hinkle ruling each judge that Florida's law is unconstitutional. So months later, I guess the first week of October, the U.S. Supreme Court declined to hear appeals from any of these cases that in which states had lost their marriage battles. And at that point, same-sex marriage became legal in, you know, at that point, 35 states. And that's when it appeared that when Judge Hinkle's, you know, when his stay would expire, that suddenly Florida would be the 36th state. That's when we learned about the memorandum from Greenberg Traurig to the clerks in which they advised them not to issue the marriage licenses, because suddenly clerks were being asked, well, what are you going to do? And, you know, that's when I learned about this memo and published it. And, in fact, in September, one of the attorneys for Greenberg Traurig had actually written an op-ed piece about this very issue that ran in the Tallahassee Democrat, but otherwise went unnoticed. So then suddenly you have a federal judge ordering the state of Florida to not enforce the marriage ban on constitutional grounds, and you have the law firm representing the clerks telling them that they shouldn't abide by the order, but that they need to wait for the Supreme Court. That's when you know, pandemonium basically began within the clerk court system, because suddenly even clerks in South Florida became hesitant because they were afraid that they would be charged with a misdemeanor or that perhaps even be suspended from their jobs because they would be technically breaking Florida law, according to the recommendation by Greenberg Charge. So what happened was the Washington County Clerk, and the reason why the Washington County Clerk's office became the target for all of this is because in the federal case involving the ACLU and Arlene, but in that federal case, it was consolidated with a right to marry case of two men in Washington County. So Judge Hinkle directly ordered the Washington County Clerk to perform those men's marriage. So basically the Washington County Clerk asked for clarification from Judge Hinkle. What does this mean? Does this mean that I have to marry everyone who comes to my office or just these two men? And then the other question was, does this affect all 67 counties or just Washington County? And then on New Year's Day, just on Thursday, Judge Hinkle, you know, he issued a statement, basically a clarification, not a new order, but a clarification of his original order, in which he said, you know, you can do as you please, basically. However, if you enforce the marriage ban, you will be in violation of the U.S. Constitution. Immediately, a day later, Greenberg Traurig reversed itself and then issued a letter to the clerk saying that they had to abide by Judge Hinkle's ruling, which is why now all 67 counties are issuing marriage licenses.
And Irene Plank with the Clerk of Courts Office in Sarasota, I wanted to bring you into the conversation here. I know we need to let you go here in a few minutes. But tell us about what it was like, you know, before January 1st when Judge Hinkle made that clarification. Were you kind of just on the edge of your seat wondering what was going to happen?
Well, it did place us in a position of having to hear negative comments from those who felt that it was just another excuse to prevent same-sex marriages. When it was really that we were waiting for clarification from the court, you know, any time there's a decision by a court of this magnitude declaring a law unconstitutional, it isn't unusual for people to express their views for and against, and some felt that we had the authority and we were using it as an excuse. And, of course, this makes the exchange more difficult, but we were pleased to receive the clarification from the court authorizing us to issue the licenses to all couples.
And Irene, can you give us a sense of what it's been like since your office has opened on Tuesday morning? How many same-sex couples have come in so far, or at least yesterday?
Yesterday was a busy day. It started busy. We opened up at 8:30 to a crowd at the door. The mood was very positive at both of our locations, our downtown Sarasota Historic Courthouse as well as the Venice office. Staff performed extremely well. I'm happy to report everything went smooth. We got positive feedback from Sarasota Pride representatives with regard to the licenses issued. We issued 36, and that's combined between our Sarasota and Venice office. Of those 36, 33 were same-sex couples. And our office also performed a total of 7 marriage ceremonies, 5 of which were for same-sex couples. And just to sort of put it in perspective, for comparison, January of last year, we averaged 8 to 9 marriage applications per day and performed an average of 2 marriage ceremonies per day. So you can see we were busy yesterday.
Yes, yes. And you mentioned performing the ceremonies as well. You know, I understand there are a handful of counties that they're issuing the licenses, but they have stopped performing the ceremonies. And that's for everyone, not just same-sex couples, but for everyone. Was that ever a consideration in Sarasota, or did you always plan to go ahead with the ceremonies as you've done in the past?
That was not a consideration for Sarasota at all.
And can you give us a sense of the general mood in the clerk's office these days? I imagine it'd be somewhat celebratory, as I know it's been in many other clerk's offices around the state.
The mood's been very positive. We, as I said, we've gotten positive feedback from people coming in. We had quite a number of spectators yesterday, and it's just been very positive.
And can you give us some clarification on exactly how the process of receiving a marriage license works in Florida? You know, you go in and you fill out the application, but there's actually a 3-day waiting period, correct?
Yes. Under Florida law, there is a 3-day wait period for Florida residents, and that's when either one or both of the parties of the couple are Florida residents. Now, if the couple provides a certificate of completion of a premarital preparation course, there's no 3-day wait period. And the statute also provides that a judge may waive the 3-day wait period for good cause, you know, such as a hardship. Also, the 3-day wait period does not apply to non-Florida residents.
Okay. Irene Plank is general counsel for the Sarasota County Clerk of Court, Karen Rushing. We'll let you go at this time, Irene, but thanks so much for speaking with us. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, John.
Florida became the 36th state in the U.S. to begin recognizing same-sex marriages this week, just on Tuesday. You can join the conversation and connect with our guests by calling 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Join our live Twitter chat using hashtag Gulf Coast Live, or post comments and questions on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media. And I want to come back to you, Arlene, because I know you and Carol were together for, you know, a long time. Can you tell us a little bit about how you first met, and maybe take us back to those early years in your relationship? Because I imagine that you probably would have felt compelled to, you know, really conceal the true nature of your relationship all those years ago.
And we did. We did for many, many years. Back when we were, it was in 1967, 68, 20 years old, there was no way we were going to say we were in a relationship with it. We loved each other. It just was unheard of. We didn't even know there was another couple like us.
Hmm.
So we lived like that for a very long time.
And how did the two of you meet?
Actually, we met when we were 13 years old. We moved into the same neighborhood in the Bronx, in New York, and we became friends. And we were friends until we became 20, when we realized that we loved each other.
And what do you think Carol would say about everything that's been happening?
Carol was very shy, and I think that she would say, "What are you doing? What are you doing to me?" I would say, "That's what I'm doing for you."
Right, right. And you still care for her parents as well?
No, I don't.
No, no,
no. Her sister is taking care of them.
Okay. You know, I know that you could, Steve, this question's for you. From reading some of the media reports or you know, hearing broadcasts, it might be easy to get the impression that, you know, same-sex marriage in Florida is a done deal. But that's not exactly the case, is it?
Well, I mean, at the moment it is, obviously, and it will be until a higher court rules that it's, you know, not an ill, you know, it's not unconstitutional. I mean, essentially, the appeals for these cases are still in process because the state hasn't dropped the appeals. So, I mean, you've got the federal case, which has yet to be heard or scheduled in the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals in Atlanta. And then you have the Miami-Dade and Keyes cases, which have yet to be heard or scheduled in the 3rd District Court of Appeal in Florida. It's unlikely at this point that any of those courts will rush to hear these cases, because at the end of the week, this week, the U.S. Supreme Court is discussing whether or not to hear one of these other cases, probably out of the state of Michigan, but to hear one of these cases that this spring then will be the conclusion of this case, in which the U.S. Supreme Court will rule whether or not the rest of DOMA has to go. And so, like I said, if the Supreme Court hears the case and rules in favor of abolishing the rest of the Defense of Marriage Act, well, then obviously all of these state laws would be unconstitutional. If the Supreme Court, however, rules that the states do have the right to have these constitutional amendments, you know, then the question also is, do the states have the right to not recognize marriages performed elsewhere. So those are the two issues. We don't know what would happen. No one knows what will happen, but what we're fairly confident is that the marriages being performed today and tomorrow, until any court rules differently, and the marriages that have been recognized will be recognized, because right now they are legal. And so just as in California, when the legislature passed same-sex marriage around 2006 or so, that people got married, and then in 2008, the electorate in California outlawed same-sex marriage in their Proposition 8. All of the people who had been married, they were still married. It was not as if they were unmarried.
Mm-hmm.
Their licenses were not, revoked. But what happened was then, and this is something that John Stemberger and I talked about over the weekend, was that if a case like this does happen in Florida, essentially what he said was that you will have two classes of gay people who were married in this period, and people who were no longer allowed to get married. That remains to be seen.
Right. And you had mentioned Attorney General Pam Bondi's appeal. Again, nothing has been scheduled yet. She was asked about that by reporters in Tallahassee yesterday at the inauguration events and was somewhat vague. Do you think that Bondi could potentially withdraw the appeal if the Supreme Court decision goes ahead? Or do we have any idea what will happen there?
You know, she hasn't said that she's going to do anything at this point,
right.
And she's under no pressure at this point to pursue the case, because it's already a done deal here for the time being. And like I said, if the U.S. Supreme Court rules otherwise in June, that will basically affirm whatever the law was before, and it will go back probably. I mean, we don't know for sure how this would shake out, because the law itself, the way the constitutional amendment was written, was that the state couldn't recognize marriages. Now, I don't know what would happen if the Supreme Court invalidated part of the law and kept the other part. Would that cause the entire law to, be stricken from the Constitution? I just don't know, because I don't know that you could have put a law that was only half legal on the ballot in the first place.
Right.
Laws have to be vetted. And these ballot measures, they get thrown off all the time because the ballot measures may not be, constitutional. They may not be well written. And so, it could be a big legal mess if the U.S. Supreme Court rules otherwise. However, the thing to keep in mind is this, that when Attorney General Bondi went to first the 11th District Court of Appeal and asked for that court to extend Judge Hinkle's stay as it was about to expire, they said no. She then went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and she went to Clarence Thomas and asked him to extend the stay. He referred this to the entire Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court then, one day later, they voted 7-2 not to extend the stay. There was a message there that was being sent. And at the very least, the U.S. Supreme Court knew that hundreds or thousands of gay couples would suddenly begin to marry in the state of Florida, and that the state of Florida would immediately have to recognize the thousands and thousands of marriages performed elsewhere. And it just seemed inconceivable to many people that the U.S. Supreme Court would have done that if it intended to uphold Florida's gay marriage ban. If the Supreme Court knew that was what it was going to do in June, if it had no intention of invalidating the law, why would they allow thousands of people to then get married?
Right, right. Ken Sheelan with Equality Florida, you've been sitting there quietly. Thank you so much for your patience. But I wanted to ask you, as a longtime Florida resident, something like close to 40 years, I believe, what does the beginning of marriage license being issued to same-sex couples mean for you?
Well, it almost seems anticlimactic to me, because there has seemed to be an inevitability to this event for some time now. In fact, for a couple of years at Equality Florida, we've been saying it's not a question of whether it will happen, but when it will happen. Now, it's happened a bit sooner than I expected. I was hoping within the next year or so. It actually happened a little bit faster, but nonetheless, there's a kind of inevitability and a kind of normality about the whole thing that has kind of allowed me personally, and I think a lot of other people, to move on with our lives and get some official recognition for what has been in existence for years. Gay couples have been forming families for years. And they have been productive members of our communities for years. This event doesn't really change that. It gives you some official recognition. It gives you some tax benefits. It may give you some Social Security benefits, and all of that is good. But we know in our hearts that we have been good people who were capable of stable and useful and productive relationships in our society. So I see it as kind of anticlimactic. But really what, John, is significant about this, this is a 36th state in the United States. There are many countries around the world that have a marriage equality. And it would be interesting to know whether Mr. Stemberger thinks we're still going to descend into chaotic depravity because we now have marriage equality. I think his failure to show up for this discussion suggests that he sees the handwriting on the wall as well.
Oh, and Ken, I understand that, you know, I know for the past several years you've worked to convince local municipalities here in Southwest Florida to start domestic partner registries. But mm-hmm. now that same-sex right. marriage is legal in the state, is that an effort you will continue?
Well, actually, I've already started to move on, and Equality Florida has started to move on. You know, for several years, we have tried in the state legislature to create the Competitive Workforce Act, which would prevent discrimination in employment, housing, and public accommodations. In the U.S. Congress, we've been trying to do the same thing, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, or ENDA. In fact, I have an appointment next week in the city of Northport with one of the commissioners. I've already met with four of them. I'm meeting with the fifth one next week to talk about creating a human rights ordinance in the city of Northport, which would prevent discrimination in employment, housing, and public accommodations. I'm also working in Lee County and Collier County in the city of Naples to do something similar down there to create the same kinds of ordinances. So our focus is now going to be on eliminating discrimination in those important areas of our lives.
All right. And final question here for Arlene, and this actually comes from a Facebook comment from Michelle. She writes to us, I was one of the couples to get married in Sarasota yesterday. I then went to Social Security office with all of my paperwork. I want my name hyphenated. They told me no, it's just too new and they don't know how to handle it. I was the first one in their office and they don't know how to fill out the paperwork. Then they gave me their phone number and said call back in a week or so. As far as, you know, Social Security, because I know that that was something that, you know, it was a big part of your case being denied mm-hmm. those benefits. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you've started receiving now?
No, it's not. But I did. I was turned down twice and I just brought in my revised paperwork to them. We did an appeal mm-hmm. on the denial and I'm waiting to hear.
Okay.
So
would you have any advice for Michelle at this point? You think it might be best to just wait and see?
I don't know. I don't know if I would. I think I might go back and I might talk to them again because if a straight couple can get the name hyphenated, why can't you?
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah.
John.
Yeah, I think it's probably a local problem, John. I think the local office may simply not know how to do it.
Right.
So I'd encourage her to go back and try again and keep trying until she gets where she needs to be.
That's right.
All right. Well, that is all the time we have for this portion of the show, but I want to say thanks to my guests, Arlene Goldberg, Steve Rothaus, and Ken Sheelan. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Arlene Goldberg is a plaintiff in one of the successful lawsuits against Florida's gay marriage ban. Steve Rothaus is the LGBT issues reporter for the Miami Herald, and Ken Sheelan is a board member for Equality Florida and a former Sarasota City Commissioner. Earlier in the show, we were speaking with Irene Plank. She's general counsel to Sarasota County Clerk of Courts Karen Rushing. We're taking a short break, but when we return, as this week marks the 30th annual Everglades Coalition Conference, we take a closer look at the current health of the greater Everglades ecosystem and the challenges, opportunities, and potential impacts of future preservation and restoration efforts. That conversation's just ahead. Stay with us. You're listening to WGCU NPR for Southwest Florida.